The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are commenting on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. By saying it's finished, he meant that all prophecies related to the crucifixion, to the redemption, to the salvation were fulfilled. So it's finished. And also it's finished like the mission, his mission to die on the cross for the salvation of humanity. It was finished. So it's finished for like the mission. But he, because of his being the Son of God, he can never be finished. That's why it was written, he gave up his spirit. And by saying he gave up his spirit, it means the control in himself. He was always controlling on everything because he is not only the Son of Man, but the Son of God. So in the minute he planned for, he gave up his spirit. And also by saying giving up his spirit, it meant like that he's still God, but the spirit of a man, was separated from the body of a man. And that's the meaning of this. So he died like any other man. He was killed, and his human spirit was given up because he accepted death in his humanity just because to give us the freedom and to give us the eternal life with his power of resurrection. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, the preparation for the Passover, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. For that Sabbath was a high day. The Sabbath of the Passover was a great day. So no bodies should be stay on the cross. And they support that like this, bodies will stay for many days because they may live for many hours, many days. But for the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he suffered a lot from scourging and the bleeding happened, he died as if before the time expected. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken. That was the way to get rid of them before they take their bodies. So by breaking their legs, they will kill them. So that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. So at that minute, they killed both thieves by breaking their legs so they cannot breathe anymore. So they will die either by, suffocation or by the shock of this pain. But when they came to Jesus Christ, they found out that he died already. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. So in God's plan, he planned for this to happen in order to prove to everyone that he really died, because it came out one day, a hypocrisy, false teaching saying that, Christ, he did not die. And the disciples, took him before his death because they wanted to refute the idea of resurrection. And by this, they refute the idea of redemption and salvation. So he died, and this piercing by the spear proved that he was dead. But, miraculously, they saw not only the water expected from the body of a dead man, but also a blood. And he who has seen has testified. Now St. John is speaking about himself because he was standing under the cross. He saw by his eye the blood and the water. And his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. Because this water and blood signified a strong meaning of this man will never die, although he was really dead. But still, as if the power of life is there, because the coming out of blood and water was kind of a miracle. It never happened with a dead body. But also, you know, the church understood it this way, that because of this water coming out of his body, we will be baptized in the new baptism of the New Testament, New Covenant. Now we are born again through the water coming from his redemption, the water with the Spirit. And this is the power of his blood. Because he saved us with his blood, now we can be baptized with the holy water of baptism. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. Also the scriptures, you know, prophesied that no bone will be broken. That was the plan of the Lord. Because with the head resurrection, he should stand up and walk again. And also because he did not want any of the members of his body to be separated, as if telling the church in the future, you should stay at just one united body, all members included in the same body. And again, another scripture said, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So as Jeremiah said it, they will look up to him whom they pierced. So the Son of God being incarnate, one day he will be pierced with a spear, and one day they will look up to him. When he's coming, in his second coming, everyone will see him, the one who had been pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Some of the important people at that time followed Christ but secretly, because they couldn't lose their positions in the synod or in the community, because the chief priests and the heads of the temple were against the followers of Jesus. So this rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, he followed Christ, but secretly. At that minute, he couldn't take it, but he went to Pilate asking for the body of the Lord. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus, we met him in chapter 3, the one who spent many hours speaking to the Lord, asking about the new life, about the baptism. The Lord mentioned the redemption, mentioned many things written in the scriptures, and Nicodemus enjoyed the speech with the Lord. Nicodemus also loved Christ, but he couldn't, you know, declare it easily, because the temple people were against any follower. Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. So they shared in burying the Lord, and put in mind that they were limited with time, because Christ died on the cross like the third hour p.m. It's like the ninth hour in the Jewish calendar. So with the 6 hour, Sabbath day will start. So they had like few hours, like 3 hours, and they took the body out of the cross like about the 11th hour, which is 5 p.m. So they had no enough time to put the spices and to bury him in the tomb. That's why the tomb was very much close to the place of crucifixion. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with the spices. And they had, you know, the custom of covering with linen cloth the body and put the spices everywhere. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been led. So there they led Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day for the tomb was nearby. So after this quick preparation, they buried him in the tomb and they ran away to their houses because of the ritual of the Sabbath day. Even his mother and his disciple and Mary Magdalene, everyone went home after this long day. Now the first day of the week, now we are in chapter 20. The first day of the week means Sunday, because Saturday is the last day of the week. So they spend the full Saturday from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., 12th hour to 12th hour. They were mourning in their homes. They were very sad. Everyone at his house, they couldn't speak about anything happened. They were just sad. And with the very early morning of Sunday, they could move around. That's why they wanted to go to the tomb to complete the preparation and to put more spices and to, honor the body more and more because they had no time. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. And so that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have led him." In order to understand this story, better to go to Matthew chapter 28 and the end of St. Mark Gospel and St. Luke Gospel to put all the stories together. Now you can see that there were many visitations to the tomb with the early morning. So Mary Magdalene went with the woman in the early morning and they saw the angel and he told them that Christ is risen. And they saw Jesus and they touched him, they worshipped him. But because when they went back to the disciples told them, "You are not speaking logic, you are just because of your sadness, you imagine things." So Mary Magdalene went back to the tomb again. And when she found out that the tomb was empty and she had no vision at that time, she cried out and went to Simon Peter and Saint John, telling them, "They took the body," and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have led him." So, you know, because of the doubts, because of the sadness, they couldn't believe the promise of resurrection, which, you know, was given by the Lord himself many, many times. He will rise up from death on the third day, but they couldn't accept it because of the sadness. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, who were Saint John, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. So Saint Peter and Saint John ran quickly to the tomb. And Saint John, you know, outran Peter. But because he respected his friend so much, he couldn't enter the tomb first. He waited for Saint Peter to enter. But he looked into the tomb. He couldn't see the body, but he could see the linen, you know, well arranged, as if somebody was sleeping and, you know, he just waked up and arranged all the linen. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture. So Saint John, the writer of the gospel, he made it clear that till this minute, their belief was not mature, was not completed. Because of the crucifixion, they couldn't believe that this is the Son of God. Because of his suffering, his pains, because they couldn't see the glory in whatever happening. So when they went to the tomb and they found out that all signs saying that he rose from death. Now the belief in his divine nature, you know, was matured. For at the end they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. So Saint Peter and Saint John moved back to their home to see other disciples and to tell them most probably he rose from dead, because we found no body and even the linen were arranged. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Saint Mary was like obsessed with the idea they took the body. They couldn't understand or accept the good news of resurrection. She just refused this idea and kept saying to herself and others, "They took the body." Even when she looked down into the tomb, she saw two angels. And the angels asked her as if saying, "We told you before, like 2 hours before, we told you that he had risen. Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have led him." So it was, you know, like a compulsive idea. They had taken the body, and I couldn't know where they took him. Although Saint Peter and Saint John started to believe, and they went back to the disciples to tell them the good news, but Mary Magdalene couldn't accept the good news. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Because Jesus saw her a few hours before. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have led him, and I will take him away." So you can see that Mary Magdalene couldn't ever believe in his resurrection, and she was like asking, "Where had you put him?" And that's why Jesus said, "Mary." Glory to God. Amen.